There they crucified him. Four words at the heart of all that many of us this morning hold dear. There they crucified him. We spoke earlier about the fact that we have started our Lenten season, the 40 days leading up to Calvary, 40 days journey towards the cross, towards resurrection as well. Let's not forget the good part as well. But 40 days of a journey to the point there they crucified him. And over these next few Sundays, as we lead up into Easter, we're going to be looking at a series of sermons on the sayings of Jesus on the cross. And in Richard and Leslie's absence today, I get to talk to you about that first one. That wonderful saying. Father, in verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for we do not know what they are doing. You know, it's easy to read that and take it just, you know, quite glibly. Father, forgive him. Of course he's going to forgive us. It's the Son of God. It's Jesus. He loves us. But we need to see those words in the context of all that has happened. Think about it. Only a few months ago we celebrated Christmas, the babe who came from heaven. 33 years of ministry, and then the week before this all happened, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the crowd screaming his name, shouting Hosanna, the teaching, the crowds gathering around him, thinking he was fantastic, the Last Supper with his friends, then Gethsemane, where one whom he loved came and betrayed him with a kiss. The beatings, the mocking, the jeering of the crowd, the laughter of Herod, Pilate trying to wash his hand, all these things happened in the moments, in the days and the moments that led up to, and there they crucified him. From the beating to the rejection by the crowd, and then they led him to a place called Calvary, and they crucified him. And amidst the pain, amidst the anguish, the humiliation, lying naked on a cross, having gone from the heights of heaven to the place of the skull, rejected, a crowd following him, laughing and jeering, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want us briefly this morning to look at three things as you try and unpick this saying of Jesus. I want us to think about the people. I want us to think about the prayer itself that he makes, that he says, and ultimately the purpose. The people, the prayer, the purpose. First of all, the people. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Who's them in this story? Is it the soldiers who've taken the hammer and the nails and banged it into his wrist and into his ankles? Is it the religious leaders who have planned this whole thing because to them he was such a troublemaker? Was it the crowd who was laughing and jeering at him? The soldiers who gave him the wine vinegar, mocking him? Was it the crowd who followed, just curious to see what was going on? This whole journey was happening in front of them. This whole drama was unfolding. And everybody likes a crisis and a drama. They like to see what's happening. Was it the disciples who had promised so much and yet followed from a distance? Was it Pilate? Was it Judas? Was it Herod? Who is them? Famous Methodist preacher and writer called W.E. Sangster wrote a wonderful book. If you ever get a chance to find it, I think it's out of print now, a book called They Met at Calvary. And in that book, he takes time to describe all the different types of people who met at the foot of the cross. He talks about the religious leaders. He talks about the soldiers who crucified him. He talks about the crowd. And effectively, in that book, he draws a line that basically shows that actually, Father, forgive them, basically means, Father, forgive all of us. Because all of mankind, in many ways, was represented at Calvary. From the comfy religious ones who didn't like the challenge of the cross, from those who doubt and scorn and ridicule the sayings of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, but those who have failed and fallen, them means us. All mankind, to me, was represented around the foot of the cross. And when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, he was praying, Father, forgive Terry, forgive Andrew, forgive Caroline, forgive Owen. Father, forgive and insert your own name there. Because this forgiveness wasn't just for a select few. It was for all mankind. Father, forgive them. Do you see, as we meet at Calvary again, do you see yourself represented there? Perhaps through your doubts, your failures, perhaps through trying to box Jesus off into a corner and saying it doesn't have any real claim on my life like the religious leaders. Father, forgive them. Transcends time and space and comes to us today to say, Father, forgive us. It's all of us. We are all in need of God's forgiveness. Whatever you've done, whatever you are in your journey of faith, as we journey over these next 40 days towards Calvary afresh, Jesus has prayed for you, has given you everything you need to meet him afresh at the cross of Christ. The people is us. Father, forgive them. But you know, the prayer itself, can you imagine the anguish, the pain, the humiliation that he was experiencing? And he didn't say then, the prayer itself wasn't, Father, forgive them when I've made them, when I punished them for a little bit. It wasn't, Lord, Father, forgive them, but let's make them sweat it out a little bit, because actually they have done some pretty nasty things and we should punish them. His prayer was simply, Father, forgive. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with forgiveness. Sharon will tell you this. I find it quite easy to forgive other people, but I find it very hard to forgive myself for things that you have done, perhaps, and you stand in front of the cross again, and you look at some of the things in your life, and you kind of see that reflection, you realize that actually, that's not really very pretty, that's not very nice. Or we have done things that actually, you know, we're not very proud of. And yet, Jesus says, Father, forgive. It's a wonder of grace that no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, the love of Jesus reaches out to us and says, I forgive you. You know, we see lots of offers on our TV, don't we? You know, buy now before it disappears. Come and get this special 25% reduction today, you know, instant gratification. And again, Sharon will tell you that I quite like, oh, let's go do that now. But the offer of Jesus isn't a one-time only event. It's an event that stretches through eternity and reaches out to us this morning and says that no matter who you are, where you are, what you have done, what your needs are, he loves you and he will forgive you. And that's a message we need to take to heart this morning. It's a message that I need to take to heart. No matter who I am or what I've done, this God of grace says, forgive. As I say, I struggle sometimes with forgiveness. And sometimes I think we as individuals and as a church can struggle with forgiveness. We say we forgive, but it's very hard sometimes to forget. The beauty is that God forgives and forgets. And he looks upon us with eyes of love for the first time, each time. He has given us so much. Father, forgive them. Forgive us. And it is forgiveness. The people, the prayer for forgiveness. But then this last bit always confuses me a little bit. Father, forgive them, for we don't know what they're doing. Really? Hang on, I think the religious leaders knew exactly what they were doing when they were trying to get rid of him. I think the soldiers, they kind of knew that if they picked up a nail and a hammer and put a man on a cross, things would happen. They did know what they were doing. What about the mob? When they shouted, release Barabbas! They knew what they were doing. And yet Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I find that confusing for quite some time, and probably still do to a little bit. But when I was thinking and praying about it this week, I kind of came to the conclusion that the reason Jesus prayed this, one of the reasons Jesus prayed this, and I'm going to suggest for one moment it's the only reason, is that whilst they knew what they were doing, they didn't know who they were doing it to. To the religious leaders, he was a troublemaker. He had come to challenge their comfy religiosity, and they didn't like it. To the Romans, he was a rabble-rouser. To the criminals, he was just some strange person. To the crowd, to the doubters, he was somebody who had come and promised so much. You know, the week before, he'd come through into Jerusalem. Everybody was singing, shouting, Hosanna. And now, he's laid low. Typical. Another promise broken. Another hope dashed. Father, forgive them, for they did not know what they do. They did not know who they did it to. For the religious leaders didn't see that in this Jesus who challenged their way of life, everything that they had held dear, wasn't a troublemaker. He was the hope and fulfillment of everything that they had longed for. For the doubters who questioned and challenged, they didn't realize that this Jesus was the one who actually, through the death on the cross, would actually bring hope and salvation into a world where they could really grasp it. They didn't know who he was. And we see this often, you know, we see this reflected in the two criminals on the cross, don't we? You know, we see much of the world's reaction to Jesus on those two criminals. We have one who has, they've both seen the same thing. And we have one who laughs and ridicules and mocks and says, oh, Jesus, I'm not going to take that seriously. I'm going to sweep that away. And then we have the other one, who through his pain and his anguish sees something more. He sees the Christ of God. He sees the Holy One whose death will take away the sins of the world. We sang it earlier, there was no other good enough to bear the price of sin. He alone could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In the next 40 days, probably less now because it started on Wednesday, we are all at different times going to walk towards Calvary. Every day we walk towards Calvary, we look at Calvary. As we journey, as we look on the cross afresh, what do you see? Are you like the crowd, the religious leaders, doubting, laughing, joking, Christianity, not for me. Faith, hope, it's all nonsense. Or are you like the criminal who through his pain and his anguish sees beyond into eternity? What do you see when you look at the cross? And probably more importantly, who do you see? Do you see a man who has promised much but has failed? Or do you see the hope of the world? The one who can take your brokenness and make it whole. The one who can turn your hurt into joy. The one who can take the sorrow that's in your life and fill it with his love. The one who will make a difference. Who do you see on the cross? And it's interesting as well, I find it interesting when I was thinking about this during the week. As I was thinking of myself looking at the cross and imagining Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. As I looked and saw the Son of God, I thought, what does he see when he gazes back? So this morning, as you look on the cross and you see Jesus, what does Jesus see as he looks back into your heart? Does he see doubt, confusion, uncertainty? I'm sure he does. He does for me. Lots of things I'm unclear of. But does he see someone who is willing to say, I believe that you are the Christ of God? Does he see somebody who is willing to say, I'm going to put away all these things over here and I'm going to set my face towards Jerusalem and walk towards the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Father, forgive us. But what are we going to do? Which way are we going to walk over these next 40 days? And much longer than the 40 days, obviously, as well. Are we walking towards the cross, looking at Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith? Or are we like the doubters, the mockers, the comfortable religious ones, leaving all that and saying, no, nothing to do with me? They met at Calvary. It's a wonderful little book. But this morning, we meet at Calvary again. Every day, we come face to face with the God who loved us so much that he sent his only Son to die for us. And as we meet this morning at Calvary, what is our response to his prayer? What is our response to his love? Father, forgive them. What will we do with that forgiveness? Do we accept it, embrace it, make it fundamental to our whole being? Or like the criminal on the cross, will we set it aside? I'm sure I've told you the story before, but one of my favorite illustrations of it is there's a famous theologian called Karl Barth. I'm sure Susan knows him, and Arkell and others. Hugely, hugely influential in theological thinking in the 20th century. Swiss theologian. Particularly famous for 13 volumes of Christian theology, I think it's called. 13 volumes of stuff so deep, so heavy, really difficult to get through. But in it, he explains so much about who Jesus is and what the church is and what we should be doing as Christians. And this fantastic man, this brain the size of a planet, he was being interviewed once. And he was asked, you know, of all the things that you've read, of all the things that you've studied, of all the things that you've looked or seen, what is the most important message, most important thing that you've ever picked up on in your life? And he thought for a moment, scratched his head, and simply said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They met at Calvary. We meet at Calvary. And as we meet, we see the one who loves us with an everlasting love. What is our response? Who do we see? What will we do? Father, forgive me. Help me to follow. Or Father, no, I'm too busy. It's too much of a cost. Too much of a challenge. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They met at Calvary. We meet at Calvary this morning. And my question to myself, as it is to you, is what will our response be? We're going to sing a song. We'll just stay seated as we sing it. If you guys come. It's an old chorus.